Hebrews 13, 15 to 16 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Say continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hallelujah. Through Christ, we should offer to God sacrifice of praise. And we did that here this morning. Amen? We did that here this morning. But it says we should do sacrifices of praise and contribution to and of good deeds. Okay, so we give towards good deeds and we do good deeds. You see, church, today in this day and age, we no longer do animal sacrifice. That's one part that was done away with. Amen? Jesus is our complete and final sacrifice for our sins. We don't need to do anything else except to accept him. We need no other sacrifice. We need no other atonement. But we still do offer sacrifices to God, okay? Not to gain forgiveness of our sins, but because we possess forgiveness of our sins. That's why. Because we have forgiveness of our sins, and that's why we still offer sacrifices today. Our sacrifices are thanksgiving offerings. And they are not just occasional, but it says continually. Continually. We offer sacrifices of praise and of good deeds because these sacrifices please God. That's what it says here. In another version, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of our lips confessing his name, but of doing good and communicating of our own substance, be not forgetful. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The word contribute there actually means to participate in. It means to join in. We're supposed to be joining in participating. We're supposed to be sharing. We're supposed to contribute. And we're supposed to be giving our gifts. And that's not only referring to financial. We all have gifts. We all have different things that God has placed in our hearts. You can see the different giftings flowing just on the different people that minister on, you know, in rotation on offerings Sunday mornings. There's different giftings that are operating. I break down the scriptures into, you know, tiny little pieces. Kelly loves to tell stories and find stories. You know, like we all have different ways of doing things. And those gifts are all needed in the church. Your gifts are needed in the church. Each and every one of your gifts are needed in the church. So this morning, I just really want to say, let's please God with our giving, with our sharing, and with our contributing. Those are the things that God requires. Those are the things which say he is well pleased with. He is well pleased with. So we all have a job to do. We all have a part to play in this. We cannot just say, oh, I gave some money, you know, and my job is done. No, that's only one gift. We need your talents. We need all of those things are a part and parcel. They're all a part and parcel. We need each and every one of you. So let's please God this morning with our giving, with our sharing, and our contributing. Amen? Amen.
Let's just pray over the offering this morning. If you're giving online, there will be a link in the chat. If you're giving in person, I've already saw some people bring their offering up. So let's just pray over it. Father God, we just thank you that As we honor you with our first fruits, you promise to honor us by opening the windows of heaven over us and pouring out a blessing that which we cannot contain, Lord. So we're just grateful for that promise this morning, Lord. We stand on that promise this morning, Father. And Lord, just help us to always give with a cheerful heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a couple of we dismiss kids' church. Almost forgot to do that. A couple of announcements before we get going. We have the church annual general meeting a week from tomorrow at 7 p.m. I can't remember the 27th of March. So we'll have the annual general meeting. That's for members in good standing. We have Kelly and Ron's seat is up on the board, on the leadership team. They've allowed their names to stand for another term. If you or anybody else you know would like to serve on the leadership team, then please, you know, nominate that person, get another member in good standing to sign that nomination form and get it to Pastor Jerry this week. Also, reminder, men's cell group, we're starting it up again. It'll be this coming Friday evening at 7 p.m. at my place. Did I say 7 or 7:30? I can't remember. I'll let you. Just now I said 7. I can't remember what I said in the past. Whatever's posted on the men's Facebook page. Guys, come. It's going to be good. We're going to just do 4 sessions over 4 months to start with and see where it goes. It's the Return of Godly Grit. It's a good series, and I think you'll enjoy it. So guys, please come. All right. Anything else? That's it. Okay. So we're going to pray again. Father God, I just, again, thank you for this word you've given me. Father, I just pray that you would speak through me this morning, Lord, that the word spoken and your word will fall on fertile ground this morning, Lord, and that we will really take to heart this message today, Father. And I just pray that you would, again, speak through me. Holy Spirit, you have complete control in this place, and we're so grateful for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I titled my message, Wake Up. So are we all awake? Oh, we all awake this morning? Yeah, we're all awake? Okay, good. Isaiah 65, 1-4 and verse 12 says the following. I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. All day long, I opened my arms to a rebellious people, but they followed their own evil paths and their own crooked schemes. All day long, they insult me to my face by worshiping idols in their sacred gardens. They burn incense on pagan altars, and at night, they go among the graves, worshiping the dead. For when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. You deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do what you know I despise. Kind of sounds like the world in which we're living today, does it not? I think that paints a pretty accurate picture of the world in which we're living today. And here we see a God who is desperately desiring his people to not only honor him with their actions, but also sincerely is desiring to be in relationship with him. He wants us to crave him with everything we have, to want to be with him in all times. God is calling them to wake up, hear the call, answer him, and walk away from those things that he despises. So there's a number of times in the New Testament as well where we hear where God calls those that are asleep and gives warning to those that are not willing to wake up. And this morning, I want to encourage you to listen to these words and to really wake up. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. 1 Corinthians 15:18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Lost. Mark 14:37 says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you even watch for 1 hour? And Matthew 25:5 says, the bridegroom was long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Church, we live in a broken world, a world with broken and hurting people, a world where people are dying, not having met Jesus, and we need to wake up. We need to wake up. So I did a little Googling and looked up some stuff. And I asked, how many people will die in 2023? I was just curious, on average, from statistics. So it's estimated that, listen to these numbers, 332,648 people will die every day this year. That's 13,680 per hour. 231 per minute and 3.85 per second. So just in this short introduction, about 350 people have passed away. It's also estimated that about 33% of the population claim to be Christian. And for me, from what I see in the world today, that seems high, but I'm hoping I'm wrong. So out of that 350 people that passed away so far in the introduction of this message, 115 went to be with Jesus, 235 did not. Now, this doesn't take into account, you know, people at the age of accountability where they actually have the opportunity to make a change, but one is too many. Am I right? One is too many to not go and meet Jesus. Again, in just the last few minutes, 115 versus 235, wrong ratio. Our world is broken and it's time to wake up. So here's some articles and headlines just from the past few weeks. And I mean, if you go on social media, you turn on a news network, it is nothing but doom and gloom and depressing. Actually, it's depressing. So, I mean, we're starting out a little bit sobering here this morning just to get some points across, and then we'll have an opportunity at the end to really wake up. So here's just some articles from the past few weeks. Putin signs a bill to suspend the last nuclear arms treaty with the U.S. The province of British Columbia legalizes some illicit drugs. And apparently people are advocating for even higher possession limits. Listen to this. Apparently 2.5 grams of cocaine is not enough. And I quote the person from the article. It's a 2.5 gram threshold is ridiculous. BC had asked for a limit of 4.5 grams, which many advocate is already believed to be too low. This person said that 2.5 grams doesn't meet the daily needs of many people who use drugs. And it also, this is a quote from an actual article on Global News. And it also creates additional costs since usually it's cheaper to buy in bulk. Let's just go down to Costco and get the big bag of cocaine versus, you know, superstore for the normal standard size. It's cheaper to buy in bulk. The limit also doesn't take into account people who live in rural areas, often far from cities where they buy their drugs. People who are in rural and remote, they need to pick up larger quantities so that they can go back home and spread it out. The article went on to say that an estimated 74,000 people have been diagnosed with opiate use disorders. They aren't even calling it an addiction anymore. It's a disorder now. Now, I did some more Googling, you know, North America wide or worldwide. I can't remember what it was now, but it says an estimated 500,000 deaths per year are caused by drug usage. It's time to wake up. We have the answer. In Canada, we've allowed and are advocating for making it even easier, medical assistance in dying, or we call it MAID to make it sound a little bit nicer for short. And they're trying to make that easier for people to attain. Protecting the unborn, even praying outside some facilities that provide that service has become illegal in some countries. A pastor was arrested again this week in England for standing outside across the street from an abortion clinic praying silently. No signs, no nothing else, but he was arrested for that. According to the U.S. alone last year had 647 mass shootings. I found an article that was published in February this year that claiming there's now 81 different genders in the world. And the World Health Organization says about 73 million abortions take place every year. 73 million. If this doesn't break your heart just a little bit, you might be asleep. And you might need to do some repenting. I tell you this because it's time we woke up. And I'm not talking about being woke, right? I'm talking about the church waking up, each individual waking up, repenting for our lack of urgency in Jesus, our complacency in our faith, and our lack of heart for our fellow man. We must realize that we have work to do because we have the answer. Now, as I was writing this message, this anecdote kept coming back to my memory. Have you ever heard the story of the frog in boiling water, right? So if you have a pot of boiling water on your stove and you drop a frog in it, what's it going to do? It's going to freak out. It's going to do everything it can to get out of that water, to escape it. It'll fight to survive with every bit of its strength. However, if the pot of water is at room temperature and you just gently place the frog in it and turn the heat on, it just sits there and acclimates to the water. And as you increase the temperature and slowly bring the water to a boil, the frog doesn't realize until it's too late that it's actually boiling to death. Well, when I was thinking of this, it was like I saw it clearly. I feel this analogy as the church. We were asleep as the temperature of this anti-God culture got slowly turned up over the years. It got turned up while we sat here complacent in our complacent living rooms or our churches, not realizing what was happening because we were asleep. I'm not saying we, but me. I was. I've told you this before. I only write messages because it's affecting, it's my life. As a culture, as our culture and values have slowly been stripped away, as God has been removed from our culture, as the enemy has strengthened his grip on our young people, you know, this is the devil's last ditch effort because he knows what's coming. But I think a remnant is rising up. God's people are waking up. Will you be one of them? Or will you walk out of here today unchanged, still asleep? We see it's already started. We heard about the revival last month at Asbury and in Kentucky and other places around the world, and that was really something to see. And people went there to try and disprove it was really a move of God, which is sad in its own state, own right. And they were saying, no, this is real. This is legitimate. We see this. Nobody's seeking fame here. We just want to worship God and honor him with everything that's in us. And it just so happened to start, and I thought it was a really cool move of God that it just so happens to start the week before this Jesus Revolution movie came out. And now this Jesus Revolution movie, which I went and saw, and I laughed and I wept and I laughed and I wept like over and over again. It is so well done. It is such a moving story. It is so inspiring. And a house full of hippie people that this pastor opens up his house to and has all these hippies living there. It's amazing. And Marge looks over at me. She goes, you realize that's our house, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I know. Not that we're going to have hippies living there, but it's going to be open, right? So I'm just saying that we see this movie, and this movie that they say will do about $5 million at the box office has done over $30 million now. It's the highest grossing movie for this division of the moving company, which only does Christian movies. Go see it. Buy it when it comes out. Support it. We need to wake up. We need revival, but that starts with you and me in our hearts, living a righteous and repentant life. So how do we get on back on track? Well, I think number one, we need to seek out, walk in, and fulfill God's purpose for our life. As a child of God, one of the most important things is to live a life that is in line with God's purpose for us. Being awake and aware of God's presence and guidance in our lives helps us understand and fulfill his purpose for us. We need to strive to have success in your life. Now, success in fulfilling what God has called you to become, not our own definition of success. What has God called you to be? Now, before you go beating yourself up about not knowing what your calling is or what you're supposed to do, or thinking about, you know, that I am or not a success, you need to not, listen to me, not compare yourself to others. At the end of the day, God is the only one who can really define what success means in your life. Success is determined by God's purpose for you. You'd be surprised how many gifted people are tormented by the need to evaluate themselves in the light of somebody else's calling. You might not be called to be a pastor. I know I'm not, and I have the patience for people. I would hurt people's feelings as a pastor. You need to love people. I love you all. I'm just saying, but I mean, I'm not, but I love preaching. I love bringing the word. I love writing messages. That may not be your gifting. Maybe your gifting is to create wealth for the kingdom. Maybe your gifting is to do missions. Maybe your gifting is to serve the poor. Maybe your gifting is to do plumbing and renovations, because that's what God's called you to do, and to serve people. How many opportunities have you had to minister the word of God because of your job? That was not in my notes. I don't know where I am now. Okay, So success is determined by God's purpose for you. Listen to that. So are you doing that, or are you comparing yourself to someone else? Song of Solomon 8:12 says, my own vineyard is before me. So success is walking and working in your own vineyard. Only the God who called you knows whether you're successful or not. Hear this. There's no way to define success without understanding the purpose. And in the kingdom of God, there are two questions that matter. So listen to this. Two questions that matter. First, what's your job? Next, how's your job going? If you're doing what God told you to do and seeking to excel in it, then you're a success. Congratulations. If you're not, it doesn't matter how smart or how rich or how famous you are, you're not a success. Look out when people other than God define your success, because that can become idolatry in your life. Now, I know I've played the comparison game for far too long, and as difficult as it is to not compare ourselves with others, we need to learn to compare ourselves to ourselves. Ask this question every day of yourself. Am I better today than I was yesterday? It's a simple question. You can ask it at the end of every day. Am I better today than I was yesterday? And if the answer is yes, then great. Good job. If the answer is no, then do better tomorrow. Now suppose your heart said to your kidneys, unless you pump blood, you're not successful. And the kidneys believe that, they'd shut down the whole body. Hearts pump blood, kidneys purify, right? Each has its different function in the body, and until you find your place and function in it, you can't succeed. Pastor talked about that this morning. Throw off the garments. Throw off the coat. Excuses. Listen to this. You don't have a more important assignment than to seek God until he reveals clearly what he has called you to do. Then ask him to empower you to do it. No more important assignment than to seek God until he reveals clearly what he wants you to do, and then ask him, Lord, empower me to walk in this calling. David says in Psalm 20, verse 4, may he grant your heart's desire to make all your plans succeed. Now, in this moment, King David had one desire, and that was to defend the people of God and the kingdom in covenant with God. When our desires are in accord with the plan and will for God for us, we can pray this same prayer with confidence. We can also look to God to bring our desires more into conformity with him as we grow as Christians. And you know what? If our desires line up with God's, I'm using the tagline of the year, it will be as it should be in 2023. But again, our desire needs to line up with God's desire for us. And until that happens, we're not successful. We can't be. We're going against God. Now, this statement also applies to the great desire and purpose for the King of Kings as he went to battle to accomplish our salvation. We look to Jesus struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane. I can't say the word. Somebody say it for me. Gethsemane. Thank you. And say to him, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. On a personal level, we also see that God gives each one a purpose to fulfill in his great plan of the ages. The key to a life of fulfilled desire and achieved purpose is to find our place in his great plan instead of hoping to make God an actor in our plan. How many times are we trying to bend the will of God to our desires versus us bending our will to his desire? Jesus knew this fulfilled desire and purpose shown by his prayer in John 17. He says, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. The Apostle Paul knew this fulfilled desire and purpose shown by these words toward the end of his earthly life. It says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So we need to seek out, discover, and live out our purpose. And that purpose may be doing exactly what you're doing now. It really could be. Maybe that's your purpose. Maybe that's what you've been called to do. And you've just been too blind because your will has wanted to do something else. Or it could be speaking on the stages in front of millions of people, or starting a business, or visiting the sick, or doing prison ministry. There's a mission field in our backyard, folks. Start with what God has given you, be a good steward with that, and then in his timing, the promotion's going to come. Have we been a good steward? So step one to walk in God's purpose for our life. Step two is, we need to really avoid spiritual complacency. It's easy for us to fall into this pattern of complacency in our spiritual lives. When we're not fully awake and aware of God's presence, we may start to take our faith for granted and stop growing in our relationship with him. Staying awake and alert help us to avoid this spiritual complacency and continue to grow in our faith. Do you feel like you're growing in your faith? If you're not, you've got some work to do. Proverbs 1:32 says, "For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency." Zephaniah 1:2 says, "I will search with lanterns in Jerusalem's darkest corners to punish those who sit complacent in their sins." Some may think they can continue to drift through life and that prayer they prayed when they were 5 years old will be their ticket into heaven. And I'm not going to argue the theology of that statement today, but I really feel that if we aren't producing any fruit in our lives, we've probably become complacent in our walk with God. One of the meanings of complacent is, and think about this as I say these words, have I become any of this? Satisfied with the current situation and unconcerned with changing it? Often to the point of smugness, it says. So have you become smug? Are you satisfied with your current situations, with the time you spend with the Lord, with your prayer life, with your commitment to your spiritual growth? I'm just asking these questions to make you think. Matthew 7:20 says, "Thus by their fruit you will recognize this and recognize them." And I've asked this question before in messages. What's your fruit production been like lately? Matthew 25, and we've all heard this story, and I'm gonna read it anyways, but it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' So when's the last time I did something for the least of these?" Then he'll say to the ones on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me." And they'll also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick and in prison and did not help?" And he will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We need to wake up. In this case, goat does not mean greatest of all time. Okay? In this scenario, you don't want to be the goat. So step three, we need to make wise choices. We need to make some wise choices in our life. Being awake and aware of God's presence also helps us to make these wise choices in our daily lives. We need to wake up and seek wisdom. And I believe in order to really seek wisdom, we need Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit. Okay? We are more likely to seek God's guidance in our decision-making and to follow His will, which will ultimately lead to better outcomes and blessings in our life if we seek this wisdom, if we have Holy Spirit front and center in our life. Ephesians 16 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." We saw an example last night of a brother being attacked for standing up for his beliefs. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I won't go into details, but it was in the hockey world. He stood up for his beliefs and he was attacked everywhere, every which way, by thousands of people just for standing up for his beliefs. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted, praying for wisdom in our decisions, in our words, in our choices, in the actions we take in our life. Jude 1:20 says, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit." Where is our power? I think the past few years we've been lacking in this area. And today it's time to recharge. Holy Spirit, fill us anew again. Fill us anew this morning. Light that fire that once burned bright in me. Wisdom is a crucial element in our Christian life. It's essential to practice wisdom in your Christian walk because it helps you to make the right decisions and stay on the right path. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. This scripture emphasizes the importance of wisdom in our lives. And when we practice wisdom, we're able to discern between good and evil. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained to be by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We are called to be discerning and seek wisdom in order to make wise choices. I want to see this solid food. I remember, I think it was years ago, pastor said, are you still eating pablum? You know, you've been in the church for 20 years and you're still eating, mommy's still making pablum for you in the morning, you know? Or are you eating mature food? Because I've actually taken responsibility for my own Christian walk and started to develop and grow myself. It's really up to each of you and up to me. I can't blame, you know, no more excuses. Throw off the coat. It's not his fault. I haven't matured. It's my fault. Practicing wisdom helps us live a righteous life. Oh, I missed a paragraph. Let me go back. Practicing wisdom helps us to make avoid making foolish decisions, which I've made a few, just for the record. Proverbs 14:16 says, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools pledge ahead with reckless confidence. So this scripture highlights the importance of being cautious and seeking wisdom in order to avoid making these foolish decisions. In addition to practicing wisdom, helps us to live this righteous life. Proverbs 2:7 says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield for those who walk in integrity. Don't let anyone ever bring your integrity into question. When we walk with wisdom and integrity, God blesses us and protects us from harm. And as I reread that this morning, I wrote down, repentance plus righteousness equals revival. That's a God thing because I didn't think of that. Repentance plus righteousness equals revival. And finally, practicing wisdom helps us to be a light in this world. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we practice wisdom in our daily lives, we're able to have this positive influence on others and to reflect the light of Christ in this world. There's statistics that say that even the most introverted person in their life will influence up to 10,000 people in their lifetime. The most introverted, so the quiet, calm, not outgoing, will influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. Now that influence is either going to be good or it's going to be bad, right? So imagine if you're a little bit more outgoing or public facing in your job or your career or your profession, how many more thousands of people are you going to influence in your lifetime? Is it going to be a good influence or is it going to be a bad influence? How bright is your light? How bright is your light? Practicing wisdom is essential for our Christian walk. We must seek wisdom in order to discern between good and evil, avoid making foolish decisions, live this righteous life, and be a light to the world. As Proverbs 3:13 and 14 says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields a better return than gold. So again, wrote this down this morning after I read that. Recession-proof your life. Pursue wisdom. Recession-proof your life, pursue wisdom. Step 4, last step. Living awake and alive in Christ. The step 4 to living awake and alive in Christ is to overcome temptation. The devil often tries to tempt us away from God's path. When we're awake and aware of God's presence, we're better equipped to resist the temptations and stay on the path that God has set for us. I don't believe we need to go into much detail here. We're encouraged throughout Scripture to not fall into sin. And I believe if we really work on steps 1 through 3, then step 4 will be a lot easier. Jesus tells us in Matthew 26:41 to keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. That's a great promise. Stand on that when the temptation comes. We have victory. We know who wins in the end. And now we have a choice to make. Are we going to stay asleep or are we going to wake up? Like I said earlier, we live in a hurting world. We have the answer. It's time to wake up, to take a stand, and be the light on the hill. So church, let's live a life of being awake as a child of God and go out and fulfill God's purpose for us. Avoid this spiritual complacency with everything in us and seek to make wise choices and then win that battle with temptation. Imagine the impact we can make. Imagine the fruit we can produce. Imagine the lives that will be saved. And imagine hearing those words on that day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." Imagine that. I put a psalm here that I want to read in the closing, and it says, "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your glory and power and glory." Listen to this, your unfailing love. He loves you. He loves you. For those watching online, he loves you. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. Father God, I just give you praise this morning. I give you praise this morning. Who said this morning, when God is just there, he's, was that you, Bonnie? Like he's just, Madison. Madison said that this morning, right? Just need to reach up. Pastor Jerry talked about a dream where she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. I think of Bella, my little puppy, when I walk home and she goes up on two legs like, "You're here, you're here. I'm so excited to see you." And then she pees a little on the floor, but you're here, right? You're here, you're here. When was the last time you were that excited to walk into this building? When was the last time you were that excited to walk into your prayer closet at home or to enter worship in your home where God is reaching down saying, "Al, I'm here. Lord, I need your help. Pick me up. Carry me, Father. I can't do this on my own anymore. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm sick. I don't know how to go on. I don't know how to do this anymore, Father. I need you." And he's saying, "I'm here, Al. I'm here. I'm here. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Father God, you are so good. You are so good. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I will lie awake at night thinking of you, Father, meditating on you through the night because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely." Church, it's time to wake up. For those of you watching online or watching the replay, it's time to wake up. We live in a hurting, broken world, and we have the answer. And I want to encourage you this morning here, if you're saying, "I'm committing to waking up, Al," I just want you to stand up. I just want you to stand up. I'm going to take a deep breath. We're not going to call people forward. We're not going to lay hands on people. We're just going to stand up and say, "I'm committing to waking up. I have not maybe been fully awake. I've been partially asleep in my walk. I haven't been living my life like my purpose, like God has desired me to live." And for those of you online watching, stand up where you are right now and say, "I'm awake, Lord. I'm awake, Lord." And we're just going to close in prayer this morning. And we're going to walk out of this place and we're going to go on with our day if you're watching online and say, "Hey, I am going to walk a new way today. I am going to walk awake. Father, wake us up this morning, Lord. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit this morning, Father." We surrender all that stuff, all those excuses. It's done. We're drawing a line in the sand this morning, Lord, and we're stepping over that and we're committing to walk a life awake. A life for you. A life in the mission field that you've given us, our workplace, our homes, our families, Father, that we would be that shining light on the hill, Lord. We put away self. We humble ourselves before you this morning, Lord. We repent. for our wicked ways. We repent for not living fully alive in you. We repent for not being that light on the hill that we should have been. But today's a new day, Father, and you love us and you want what's best for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would reveal your purpose, your heart's desire for everybody that hears this message, Lord. Let them quiet themselves enough to seek your presence and to sit at your feet and listen until you reveal what you want them to do, Lord. And then, Father, we just ask for you to empower them to walk in that calling so that they can experience true success in life, Father. We thank you for this, Lord. We praise your name this morning, Father, and we give you all the glory and the honor because, Father, you love us and we're so grateful for that. We love you, Father. We're committing today to live a life awake. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.